our diocese are some very impressive people. All of them have been serving our church in their own parishes since they were just the same age as Mary Jane, Freya, Max, Caitlin, Selena, Bella, and our other Max, Tabitha, and Toby. All of them started out doing things around the church at a very young age. Just like Mary Jane does every Sunday, she fills the font with water. Also, one youth on the youth council member said it was her job as well to carefully pour the water in the font on Sunday mornings. One youth said she remembers how she loved putting the hymn numbers up on the hymn board on Sunday mornings. Another told us how she's a regular reader in worship, and the first time she read, she was 7, and just like Max, pulled a chair up to the lectern to reach the microphone and read the scripture lesson. One youth said that every time there's a function at the church, he's in the kitchen on dishes duty. He said he likes it there, and he enjoys the one-on-one conversation with people, the kind of kitchen fellowship that can happen when there are only 2 or 3 working in the kitchen. One youth told us that her mom usually does the children's message, and so she helps her get it ready, and sometimes even joins in the storytelling. Most of them teach Sunday school, and now 2 are even employed by their churches. One of them made time and a priority to be present for the Diocesan Youth Council meeting by Skyping in because she couldn't be there in person because she was the youth delegate at Provincial Synod this past weekend at Sorrento, where she addressed the assembly of the Anglican Church in the province of British Columbia and the Yukon with what I'm told is passion and leadership. Now, yesterday when we met at the Synod office, we opened the meeting by reading today's Gospel from Mark, and I asked them 3 questions. Who is Jesus? Who are you? And who are we as the church? Now, these are deceivingly straightforward questions, and if we reflect deeper than what's on the surface, they're the kind of questions that could take a lifetime of living to answer. In the context of this third time that they were meeting together, this newly minted Diocesan Youth Council, or the DYC as we call ourselves, we used the questions to find out a bit more about each other and to begin to build a relationship. Now, in today's scripture lesson, Mark takes us into a gospel scene that takes place some considerable time after Jesus and his disciples have begun their relationship with each other. Jesus begins this moment in their life together by asking the disciples what they have heard people say about him. People obviously have been talking about him because the disciples have something to report. Then Jesus moves to the critical question, "But who do you say that I am?" Now Peter answers, from what he has come to know about Jesus, from what he has seen Jesus do, and from what he has heard Jesus say, he affirms, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus seems satisfied with this response, but is pretty clear that they are to keep this information confidential until further notice, also known in the Gospel Mark as the Messianic secret. We as disciples today could and probably should spend some time thinking about how we would respond to Jesus' inquiry, carefully considering what our answers might be. And this would certainly be worthwhile reflection, as the discussion in the text suggests. But as we read the text today, we can see that there seems to be more that Jesus is asking in this seemingly straightforward question. And perhaps it's this more, this question under the question, that is the most challenging, the most demanding. The more might be the subtext that we wish we could avoid. Because when Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus is at the same time asking, "Who will you say that you are?" That's the rub of this question, the heart of its difficulty. If we only had to provide an answer to Jesus' question of his identity, that would be one thing. However, answering the question of Jesus' identity is also having to give voice to our own identity as disciples. Now, during the discussion with the Diocesan Youth Council, one of the youth spoke passionately about who we are as a church. She said, and it was really heartwarming hearing this come from a 15-year-old, "I'm sick to death of hearing people in the church say that we're dying, that we're dwindling in numbers. What are you going to do about it, people?" One of the other youth quickly corrected her and said, "You mean, what are we going to do about it, right? We are the church. We can't separate ourselves out of the equation. We can complain, or we can be the change that we want to see and maybe join with others in doing this along the way." 15 years old. Another youth spoke up. "I want people of this diocese to know that I'm 14 years old, and I'd be sick to death if this church that I love didn't exist anymore. If people love the church, can't we just make it more of a priority? Don't we get it?" Another youth said, "I'm tired of saying that we're in favor of reconciliation with First Nations when I hear people in my church still talking bigotry. Why aren't we calling this out?" Now, if I was ever wondering about why in the world Bishop Logan asked me to volunteer my time to support the DYC, I decided yesterday that I don't really care why he asked me. I'm just grateful to be around these inspiring Anglicans. They know who they are because they know who Jesus is. Who we say Jesus is who we have decided to be. We can't answer Jesus' inquiry without revealing who we are. Or we could switch it around. Who we are reveals who we've decided Jesus to be. Jesus' question is not a test. It's not about getting the answer right. But it is the moment when we come face to face with our own commitment, our own discipleship, our own identity. It's the moment when we have to admit to what extent how we follow Jesus actually connects with some sort of confession of who we believe Jesus to be. When I think about Peter and his whole story, all of the biographical details that we in the 21st century have the advantage to know and to ponder, it's worthwhile to think about his answer to Jesus' question of him as time went on for him, as he lived on after that day at Golgotha, where Jesus was captured, tortured, tried, crucified, and laid in a cold and dark tomb. And 3 days later, God revealed to humanity that Jesus was indeed who Peter had said he was. Did Peter hear that question his whole life long? "Who do you say I am, Peter?" "You're the one who said, 'Yes, come walk on the water with me.' You're the one who caught me before I drowned. You're the one who washed my feet while I squirmed in shame. You're the one who told me accurately that I'd be a coward on the very night that you needed me to be brave. You're the one I denied to save my own skin. You're the one who looked into my eyes when the cock crowed, and you're the one who found me on the beach and spoke love and fresh purpose into my humiliation. You are my Messiah." So who do we say that Jesus is? It is indeed a question to ponder for a lifetime. Who have we known Jesus to be that is directly relational to who we say we are as Christians? That is directly relational to who we say we are as Anglicans and as the Diocese of BC? What if the Diocesan Youth Council asked us at St. Mary's the same three questions in order to get to know us better in this part of their diocesan family? Who is Jesus? Who are we? And who is the church? What would our reflection and answers to these questions be? Would it be Jesus who invited all to his table and made them family? Maybe that's what we had in mind when on Friday we had a room full of children here. And their families and their parents, their grown-ups, they were here from Bessie Church to enjoy a delicious meal and a story and a craft. There were so many new people here. And they were feeling right at home. Could we be thinking of Jesus who cared for the grieving and suffering more than he cared for the rules? Maybe that's what we have in mind when we think of those that gathered a week ago for a memorial and will again next week to show care for people that wouldn't necessarily call themselves Anglicans or even Christians, but people who deserve to be comforted in their grief and offered the hospitality of Christ in dignity and hope and care. Could it be that we're thinking of Jesus who expanded his understanding of God's inclusive table when he let himself be taught by a Syrophoenician woman? Might that be the Jesus we have in mind as we change our hearts and our sense of God's justice and grace on the journey of reconciliation with First Nations brothers and sisters, or with LGBTQ community, and with others that maybe in another life we would have dismissed as inhuman? When Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" he's asking us, "Who do you say that you are? Who do we say that we are?" Now that's a question we'll be reflecting upon during Diocesan Synod in a few weeks. Who do we say we are? Who do we say Jesus is? And what are we going to do about that? After hearing the voices of our youth of the church yesterday, I'm very encouraged. After seeing what's been happening here at St. Mary's this past year, I hope you're encouraged. And as we as a community of disciples struggle together in the questions of who we want to be and who we see Jesus to be, as we go deeper than just surface answers, and as we grow in our faith together, understanding our own lives and our own faith through our encounters with the resurrected Christ, may God continue to show us who God is. And may we in turn be assured of who we are in Christ for the sake of a world that desperately needs a Messiah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.